Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Happy Geico-ween, everybody.
Happy Geico-ween.
It is October 30th. It is Friday, the day before Halloween. Of course, we will not have a show on Saturdays because we never have a show on Saturdays. I am Quentin Nelson, joined by, of course,
Matty Exotic.
You're Matty Exotic.
Matty Exotic.
For those that are not familiar with the Tiger King, he is here in living flesh. Excellent job by you.
I appreciate it. I just want to tell everyone, you know, Carol Baskin killed her husband, shwacked him. Can't convince me that it didn't happen. Fed him to tigers that snacked him. What's happening? Carol Baskin. Not the author of that. Somebody, that's a whole TikTok thing. But I wanted to make sure for people that are like, oh, that was clever. I just want to be.
That was really well done by you.
Appreciate
we'll clip that off.
Should I do the whole, like, this isn't even any close to a Joe Exotic. It's my twangy. This is the closest I have to a twang.
It's actually not bad.
I appreciate that.
It's pretty good. Now, is Star following the bell here this morning?
Yeah. Oh, there she is.
Good morning.
The wicked, you're a good witch.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't be a wicked witch.
I'm a good witch. I couldn't quite get my act together.
Is that like a hat and a scarf?
Yeah. hanging outside the door on the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much. No, I had
what
to.
What do I have?
But I wanted to be. I wanted to be a cone, a witchy cone.
Oh, that's witchy not bad. Cone. Yeah.
I was trying to get like the colors of the candy corn witch. It didn't quite. Come together. We had a little snow this morning. Uh-huh. There were some challenges.
I don't want to talk about it. And if I'm not mistaken, sitting in the chair of Daniel Dopp, is that Jack Sparrow?
Ye intruders, beware. There be no Daniel here. Captain Secret Sparrow be at your service, Master Yates.
That is so good.
It is so
good. Incredible. Also, Daniel's showing some chest today.
You know what, though, yeah. Daniel? I need to see your face.
There be no Daniel here,
you
good
need
witch.
Eyeliner. Yeah, the eyeliner
yeah,
is
do you
missing.
Have some eyeliner?
Yeah, let's paint up the eyes, do the full Jack Sparrow look.
As someone who was a pirate a few years ago for Halloween and put on some actual eyeliner, let me be the first to tell you, I do not envy women for having to put makeup on. That eyeliner stuff stays on for days.
For days and days it does, Master Yates.
It's not even a pirate. It's nowhere close to Jack Sparrow, but it's not even a pirate, I don't think.
Why?
What's that voice you're doing?
Why not?
You don't think?
I don't think you've quite got... It's a little bit Australian every now and then, though.
It's a little bit Australian, like, and for people
Hagrid.
That watch... for people.
There'd be Australian pirates out there. We come far and wide in the long ships we travel in.
I have a friend whose brother is an actual pirate.
For people that watch the fantasy show, there's a little bit of Waverman in there as well.
I got to be honest. That's just a compliment. I don't know.
Fair enough.
All right.
Well, let's get to it.
Let's get to it. And we start with a recap of Thursday night football's game. The Falcons have played their way out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes as they win their second game of the season last night, defeating the Carolina Panthers. But before we can get into some of the fantasy analysis, we must get into the injury analysis. And Stefania, one of the great kings of fantasy football, Calvin Ridley left the game early last night.
Don't I know it? I was watching him in a couple of leagues where I have Calvin Ridley. He had an ankle issue. It was pretty obvious if you saw shots of him on the sideline. He couldn't really put full weight through it. So they ruled him out for the rest of the game fairly quickly. And so we wait. But you'll recall he had an ankle injury earlier this year. Not clear yet if it's the same one.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one. Certainly he has been a star. The Falcons do have plenty of wide receiver depth. We'll have to talk about potential Christian Blake, or maybe even Russell Gage, Olamide Zaccheaus. How do they?
Right,
not bad. Right,
not bad, not bad. And I mean, listen, Hayden Hurst got more looks yesterday. He had 7 targets. So I think we'll see what happens. Much to be determined going forward. Obviously, they play the Broncos next week, and then they have a bye. So they have 10 days, but. Could you see them saying, you know what, we got the bye after this. Let's be safe with Ridley. And then he comes back in, week 11 at the Saints? Right, we're in week 8, 9, 10, yeah, week 11 at the Saints.
Yeah, I
do not want me to do the accent.
I need you to either do it or not do
it. All right, I'm going to stay in it the whole time. I'm going to stay in it the whole time. I will stay in it the whole time.
Episode of all time.
I will stay in it the whole time. Someone get me my Walmart meat.
We'll do that.
All right.
I've got some pancakes right here.
No.
You didn't understand that.
No, the Tigers eat Walmart meat.
Okay. These pancakes are delicious, though.
All right.
Quentin Nelson made them. Let's move along here. Just a couple of recap things. Todd Gurley last night, 0 targets. That was sort of curious. He found the end zone again for his 8th rushing touchdown in 8 games this season. Continues to be a solid, basically high-end RB2, maybe even low-end RB1, depending on how
they used Brian Hill a little bit more in this game. And I have to wonder, felt like they were just sort of switching off between series there, Field. But I feel like, you know, it was one of those things that, like, they talked about on the broadcast about how they've been trying to manage his workload. He takes a day off of practice every single week. And, you know, is this one of those things? It was a short week, right? A Thursday game. And did they feel like, hey, maybe let's give Brian Hill a little bit more work, you know, just to kind of, again, we don't want to overwork Todd Gurley too much. We're trying to manage his workload. So it was a little curious that he wasn't involved in the passing game. It was a little curious at how much Brian Hill got played. But I'm not totally concerned. Even though, let's face it, Brian Hill looked like the better running back last night.
I mean, they're managing his workload, and he had 18 rushing attempts, right?
I know, that's the thing, right? I mean,
he's averaging 19 touches per game this year for Todd Gurley. You sweating it all a little bit about the fact that Matt Ryan is currently quarterback 1 for the week?
I'm not. 17.9 fantasy points. Listen, there's very few things in this life you can count on, right? You can count on death.
Yeah.
You can count on taxes.
Right.
You can count on that Carol Baskin to try to get you in trouble, and you can count on the Falcons to be bad in the red zone. That's it. Those are the only 4 things in this godforsaken world you can count on.
I think I got to step in here, and as much as I love this, I want people to come back to the podcast, so maybe we shouldn't do the accent for the whole time.
You know,
that ship has sailed, Pirate. That ship has sailed, Pirate.
I got to tell you, though. I feel like his insight's really solid today, and I don't think it's because of the accent.
Thank you.
I think it's the hair.
It might be.
You put a little hair on your head, and all of a sudden, Maddie gets started.
It's fun.
Again.
It's exciting.
Well done. All right, let's keep things moving here. Kind of
you think my earring stays in the whole time?
Definitely not.
All questions? Right.
I think we can safely say it was a disappointing night for basically everybody on Carolina, except Curtis Samuel. I was hoping you would.
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking about Matt Ryan. So just for everyone that forgot, you and I had a board bet yesterday that Matt Ryan would finish the week as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He gets you a rushing touchdown, which is just ridiculous. But whatever, it's 17.9 fantasy points, which is decent. But I believe there will be at least 10 players that have more than 17.9 fantasy points at the quarterback position this year. This week, in week number 8, I had Matt Ryan as QB13 going into the game. I think that's going to wind up being just about right. It was the Curtis Samuel show last night, and that was upsetting to pretty much everyone else because we all had DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson and Mike Davis, and they all did diddly squat. It was all about the Curtis Samuel, who has 2 first names, always a crowd pleaser. I have 2 first names as well, Joe and Tiger. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, whatever. Those are 2 first names, too. But I'm just saying it was a little upsetting and a little bit weird because he scored 2 touchdowns on 3 touches. You just can't expect that kind of production week in, week out. Second straight week, Field Yates, he vultured a touchdown from Mike Davis, got a run from, I don't know, 10, 12 yards out, something like that, got into the end zone. Very upsetting to me and all the Tigers.
All the felines out there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just curious, you know, do you think anything of this Curtis Samuel?
I like him as a player a lot.
Sure, yeah. Of course.
But this is going to be one of those where it's going to be hard for me to see him getting enough workload week to week, right?
I agree.
So I think that he's a nice, really fun X-factor player. Last night is one of the better nights you'll have for the rest of the season. I just don't envision a scenario where he's getting 15 touches a game with Christian McCaffrey about to return.
I totally agree, and it feels like – I mean, it'll be interesting to see because this is the last game that Mike Davis is expected to be the featured guy.
That's right.
CMC is going to come back. And then you got Mike Davis and Curtis Samuel. They like the mismatches that Curtis Samuel creates for them.
He's a nice X-factor player. He's an X-factor.
He is a better real-life NFL player than consistent fantasy asset going forward.
Well said. Let's get to some of the players that you just mentioned, specifically Christian McCaffrey, and go to Stefania for some updates on stars that won't play this week, but we expect or hope to see soon. Stefania, beginning with CMC.
Yeah, that is the most exciting, right? Because we're going to get him back against the Chiefs next week. This is when we expect Christian McCaffrey to return. We thought all along that this was going to be too quick to have him come back to practice, and first time he gets on the practice field where he's in a red jersey, suddenly 48 hours later to play in a game. Never really felt like that was going to happen. But I think, obviously, Matt Rhule has talked about how excited they are to get him back in the mix. And so I think, depending how practice goes next week, you could expect a pretty good workload for McCaffrey coming in against the Chiefs. A couple other guys that we want to talk about, Austin Eckler. I would just say, if you're thinking, well, it's been about 3 weeks since he was placed on IR, wonder what's going on with him, he is still a long ways from returning. Like, not even in the conversation from returning. Anthony Lynn made it clear this was a very serious hamstring injury, and they will not be rushing him back, and that it would take longer, rather than shorter in terms of his timetable. So I think 6 weeks would be the earliest, and that's probably even being generous. Nick Chubb has been out with the MCL sprain, and Kevin Stefanski gave a pretty nice update saying he's on track right now. And if you go back to the original timetable they gave for him, which was approximately 6 weeks, that would put you around the week 10 game that follows the bye for the Browns. So it's hard to know until a guy gets back and doing a lot of work in practice how that knee is going to feel, especially when you're trying to cut laterally. But pretty good news as far as his recovery. So keep an eye on that as far as thinking about around week 10. And then Dallas Goedert back in practice. Obviously, the Eagles are happy to get anybody who is coming off injury back, because they are much like the 49ers, and that every week they seem to lose an offensive skill player. But, he was in the position drills that were open to the media, so that's encouraging, but he has not been activated off IR. So we wait. We wait.
At least another week, it sounds like, on Dallas Goedert. But some encouraging news on the whole there from you, Stefania. So those are the players, again, not going to play in week 8, but maybe we'll see them in week 9. Hopefully, especially Christian McCaffrey as the king of our fantasy football, that is. Stefania, let's move forward here to injuries on players.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Would you, Field Yates, I'm just asking you, would you this week, if you had Christian McCaffrey, you've been holding him this whole time, you look at their upcoming schedule. I'm just asking this question. Upcoming schedule, they're at the Chiefs, home to the Buccaneers, home to the Detroit Lions, at Minnesota. Pretty good schedule, although Tampa Bay gives you concern. But maybe there's a little bit more Curtis Samuel, a little bit more Mark Davis. Would you try to sell Christian McCaffrey now? He's coming back next week. Would you trade him thinking like he's not going to be the number one player in fantasy? He's still going to be a number one running back.
Oh, come on.
He's going to be a top.
You're not doing that.
I know.
You
just
waited 6 weeks.
I just wanted to. But
yeah,
right.
Trade him before you even get the chance to use him.
I understand. I just wanted to put it out there and ask you so that the people could know. That's right. You're not trading Christian McCaffrey.
Let's get back to Stefania here, as we have a ton of injury updates on players that may play this week. And we begin in New Orleans. It's not just one or two, but three wide receivers that we are monitoring some sort of health situation with. None more prominent than Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I think Michael Thomas is the one we're most interested here. And he was back in a limited practice on Thursday. It's the first time we've seen him at practice since he had the hamstring issue that kept him out last week. I still think there's a possibility that there's no Michael Thomas this week. He hasn't done much. Now, it could surprise on Friday. We know that's certainly happened before. But think about how cautious they were with him coming off the ankle issue, which reportedly is better. Remember, he was going to potentially be activated. There was the suspension, then the hamstring issue on top of it. They're just not going to risk him for the remainder of the season. I mean, he's already cost so much time. Why would you take a chance if you thought he wasn't really ready to go?
And how about his teammates, both Emmanuel Sanders and now Marquez Callaway?
Yeah, Marquez Callaway dealing with an ankle issue, but hopefully he'll be able to go. Emmanuel Sanders still on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Yeah, so doesn't sound like we'll see Emmanuel Sanders this Sunday. Matthew, just quickly, if you had to throw a dart at a Saints wide receiver this weekend with no Michael Thomas, if he does not play, and of course no Emmanuel Sanders, are you going back to a potentially banged up Marquez Callaway? Maybe going to try Tre'Quan Smith one more time after some lightning in the bottle earlier this year? How are you sizing that one up?
I like Marquez Callaway, and I know the Saints do as well, but ideally, it's none of that. You're on the road at Chicago. This is a bad matchup. It's a bad matchup for Drew Brees. It's a bad matchup for the Saints passing offense. I suppose if I have to pick one, give me Tre'Quan Smith, who's healthy. But I think it's going to be a lot of dump-offs to Alvin Kamara, and obviously Jared Cook's going to get his looks. And honestly, like ideally, it's somewhere else. I believe there will be better waiver wire options for you to play at the wide receiver position than Tre'Quan Smith or Marquez or a banged-up Marquez Callaway. The only thing I'll say is that if Michael Thomas is active, you're starting Michael Thomas.
Well done right there, Tiger King. That's why you are the king. Stefania, let's go to Green Bay, where there are a few injury updates. Of course, the most important one here is Aaron Jones.
Yeah, Aaron Jones, we thought this was going to be not a big deal, right? You know, he had a very mild calf strain by all accounts, spoke with the media before last week's game. And then we thought, well, it makes sense that they're going to hold him out because it was something that was late in the week. Just kind of assumed that he'd be back this week, but he has still yet to practice. And I think if you're looking at what they have coming up, in fact, the Thursday night game next week, it looks like Aaron Jones will be out this week.
All right, so we'll plan accordingly with Jamal Williams, who stepped in last week and was RB6 on the week, 21.4 fantasy points. Meanwhile, a couple of other Packers, obviously not quite as important, Stefania, but some injury updates on both Alan Lazard and Mason Crosby.
Yeah, Alan Lazard had that core muscle repair, if you'll recall, and I think everybody's just been excited that he's been spotted, you know, back at practice. But typically, I would say it's usually a 6-week return on these, and then it's very individual from one guy to another as to whether they're able to be effective right when they come back. We've seen guys who've had this injury, and they think, oh, they can get back on the field, but they still struggle to perform. So keep an eye on Alan Lazard. It's not going to be this week. And Mason Crosby, I think Friday is going to be a big day, dealing with two issues, calf and backs.
The Packers, every week this season, have been working out a kicker, and they've been doing so just in case. Because with the COVID-19 protocols, you can't just call someone on Friday if your kicker's out. You got to have someone in the system, so to speak. So we'll monitor that one on Sunday morning, because if you have Mason Crosby, Packers offense is good enough to help him get multiple field goal or extra point attempts any given weekend. Dalvin Cook, let's get to some good news to Fanya here.
Yeah.
Finally, something we can look forward to.
Yes, the return of Dalvin Cook. And I think people might have noticed that he was listed as limited in practice, maybe been a little concerned, but I would say you should not be. They are saving him up for the weekend. Gary Kubiak said that they do not plan on a snap count for him, that based on how he's looked in practice, there is no reason to think he'll be limited at all.
Yeah, and I know that this team probably has a season that's lost, gone by the wayside, but you got to beat the Packers. This is one of those games that really matters for the Vikings. Pair of Eagles updates to find. We begin with Miles Sanders.
Yeah, Doug Peterson's calling him day-to-day, but he still hasn't practiced. Remember, it was a knee issue. Again, here's one where he had a knee sprain that was reported as mild, and we kind of thought, okay, he was out for game. We'd see him back, but he has yet to practice. You know, Friday could be a big day, especially since they're calling him day-to-day, which, for reference, they were calling him week to week initially. So there is some measure of an improvement, but we have yet to see him do anything on the practice field. So as of right now, it looks like Boston Scott again. Jalen Reagor, you'll recall, has missed 5 games after his ulnar collateral ligament in his thumb was surgically repaired. He is back at practice, not yet activated though, but was practicing returning punts in practice, which is an encouraging sign that they're looking for him to do everything. So possibility there.
Doesn't do anything to Travis Fulgham, does it for you? I mean,
I don't believe so. I believe what will happen is that I believe Jalen Reagor plays on Sunday. There are reports out there, and I believe that to be the case. So I believe you will have Travis Fulgham at the X. You will have Jalen Reagor at the Z. You'll have Greg Ward out of the slot. You'll have Richard Rodgers as their tight end. And I like all of them. You know why? Because they play Dallas. And I like everyone that plays Dallas. I feel about players playing Dallas the opposite of how I feel about people, about Carole Baskin. It's like the anti-Carole Baskin. Anyone playing Dallas is like the anti-Carole Baskin. And so that is, to me, you want to talk about like, oh, Marquez Callaway or Tre'Quan Smith, give me a shot on Jalen Reagor.
I think Carson Wentz has a monster game here. I think he takes a couple of shots at Jalen Reagor. I'd rather take a flyer on Jalen Reagor than one of them old other Saints guys on the road at Chicago.
Stefania, let's get
Boston
the
Joe Scott gonna ball out too.
How about
just so you know?
How about Joe Mixon, Stefania? Of course, missed last week for the Bengals.
Can we talk about Boston Scott for 10 seconds?
Probably not.
I'm going to try. He was a top 10 fantasy running back last week. Had 75% of the running back touches for the Philadelphia Eagles. And by the way, gets Dallas. Again, you love players going against Dallas the way you hate Carroll Baskin.
Stefania, let's get back to Joe Mixon. Good analysis there from the Tiger King. Let's go to Joe Mixon now. What is the status for him with that foot injury?
He is still not practicing with that foot issue. And again, I've just not had a great feeling about this. We've talked about how foot injuries for running backs can be problematic, and there hasn't been a lot of detail around the nature of his injury. But all you have to do is look at the fact that he's not on the practice field, and I think it does not bode well for him. Certainly sounds like Giovanni Bernard is in line for another start.
Interestingly, the Tiger King over here to my left has Giovanni Bernard outside his top 30. Feels unkind as the Tiger King to be so...
To be clear, that is what we've talked about this, and I don't want to get into a whole behind the scenes inside baseball thing on our rankings, but at the moment, Joe Mixon has a projection on our site. When I have to go by the projections. And
he
so
does not, but that's okay.
He does not. Then we will remove that, okay. And I will have Giovanni Bernard as a top 15 fantasy running back. When I looked at my rankings, and I update my rankings, Mixon still had a projection there. But yes, if Giovanni Bernard is a must start, if Joe Mixon is out, and listening to the cone over there, sounds like he's not going to play.
Stefania, how about Allen Robinson, as we talked about yesterday and the day before? Now, I know, it's really tough. Allen Robinson with the Chicago Bears, what's his latest?
Concussion protocol, nonlinear. Even the Tiger King knows that.
I do.
And so we wait till Friday, not practicing at all yet this week.
Okay, so still no practice for Allen Robinson. I think at this point it's at least worth considering the Bears will be without him on Sunday.
I do like, if you're playing a DFS, Darnell Mooney. Getting a lot of targets, just saying.
Stefania, Jamison Crowder, we need some progress for this Jets offense to hang within 30 points against the Chiefs on Sunday. Do we have any positivity surrounding Jamison Crowder?
There's a little bit. Limited on Thursday, so he was out on the practice field. This is the first time since he suffered that groin injury in practice 2 weeks ago. So I think this is one where you have to see how he responds on Friday. So they tested him out, worked it a little bit. They want to see how he comes back to the facility on Friday. Can he repeat that or maybe even do a little bit more? And if so, then we'll have a better idea at the end of the morning practice.
He has been the only bright spot for the Jets offense. We'd like to see him among skilled players, I should say. We'd love to see him back on the field as soon as Sunday. Devontae Freeman and the Giants play on Monday, Stefania, so we're still early in their practice week. But what's your read on Devontae Freeman?
Well, yeah, he hasn't practiced, and we only have the one day. As you pointed out, they play Monday Night Football, so Thursday practice is the only thing. He hurt his ankle in last week's game, and we've got two more days. You know, that's all you can really say at this point.
Hard to envision you feel that confident, though, about playing either he or even Wayne Gallman if he has to step up in Devontae Freeman's absence against a very good Buccaneers defense. Now things get really interesting here, Stefania. The Seahawks, they have all sorts of injuries in the backfield. What do we know about both Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde, and I suppose to a degree Travis Homer too?
Yeah, they're all hurt. I mean, it really could be, is it DJ Davis?
DJ Dallas.
You know, I don't want to. Dallas and Seattle. Could be Dallas and Seattle.
Yeah.
All day.
DJ Dallas is the best Dallas in the NFL right now.
Well, because you've got.
It's true.
It's probably.
It's funny because it's true.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Right. And poor Seattle, all their running backs. Chris Carson with a foot injury. I told you guys, this, you know, these midfoot injuries, no matter how mild, really, really tough for a running back. And I just don't feel great about it. You know, the fact that he hasn't practiced, I'm a little concerned. The fact that everybody's talking about DJ Dallas tells you they're not really expecting to have Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde dealing with a hamstring injury, and Travis Homer dealing with a knee contusion. Everybody up in the air.
Yeah, no practice for any of them so far. Brady Henderson, our Seahawks reporter, noting this morning, the team will be bringing back Alex Collins to the practice squad. He's got to go through COVID protocol, so he wouldn't be available until at least next week anyways. But maybe they're using the big picture here to decide they're going to need to add some depth. I mean, if all three of those lead running backs sit out, Matthew, where would DJ Dallas fall in your rankings?
He would probably be top 30-ish. Listen, you don't love the matchup with the San Francisco 49ers, but I think what you would bank on there is you would bank on volume, and you would bank on the fact that he has a part of the passing game, right? As they let Russ cook, right? You know, DJ Dallas has been out there, been a part of the passing game. They like him there. He's progressed quickly, a fourth-round rookie. We talked about him over the week. And so, you know, again, I would lower expectations, but do I prefer him to the Wayne Gallmans of the world? I do. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of you're sifting around trying to find a fill-in running back for the week, I think DJ Dallas would be a very viable flex play if all those guys, as Stefania mentioned, are not playing this week. And, you know, I know that other people have said that you know, Carson might be a game-time decision, that Carlos Hyde might be a game-time decision. But right now, as we sit on a Friday morning, it does not look promising for NFC Hawks running back not named DJ Dallas.
Philip Lindsay Stefania has missed a couple of days of practice because of a concussion. Any chance he plays on Sunday?
Well, he already accomplished the first step, which is he got back to a little bit of work yesterday. And so as with most things, but particularly with the concussion, you want to see how the player responds to an increase in activity. So yesterday was a big test, limited practice. If he does well with that, then they have him return for practice. He would still have to be cleared by the independent neurological consultant before he could return. But yesterday was the first glimmer of hope that he could potentially be back.
I think we'll all treat the Broncos backfield still as Melvin Gordon 1, Philip Lindsay 2, and Royce Freeman a distant third. But it will be interesting to see if Philip Lindsay does play on Sunday, how much time he gets, because he has run well for the Broncos recently, and Melvin Gordon has been fine too, but Philip Lindsay, just a solid, solid player. Tyler Higbee.
Just something to think about, and this is something I know quite a bit about, and that's revenge. Revenge is something that Matty Exotic understands very, very well. Mm. And just remember, the Broncos playing the Chargers. There's some bad blood between Melvin Gordon and the Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim. So I just think you should think about, I do think Melvin Gordon gets into the end zone this week. Just a gut call, but I believe one way, by hook or by crook, and I know about those two things myself either as well. I'm just saying, by hook or by crook, Melvin Gordon gets in the end zone this week. That's a bold prediction from old Matty Exotic.
I mean, in the Chargers' defense, they offered him a 3-year, $30-plus million extension. He said,
not
no
good
to.
Enough.
And well, he got 2 years for $16
million. Whatever.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit here and judge a man's decisions. We've all made poor ones.
Yeah, that's right, including your hair and your earrings.
Yeah, I'm in jail because of some poor decisions I've made. Doesn't matter.
Tyler Higbee Stefania missed Monday night with the Rams. Hasn't been the same fantasy superstar this year as he was down the stretch last season. Any chance he plays this week?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's just disappointing because I really thought he'd have breakout year after what we saw late last season. But at least as far as the injury he's dealing with now, he banged his hand on something in the prior game, and he just wasn't ready to go by Monday night. But it was up in the air, really, until the day of. So I think that bodes well for him back to limited practice again this week. I think it's more likely than not that Tyler Higbee does play.
Got it. And how about Andy Dalton, Stefania? Obviously, that nasty hit this past weekend left him with a concussion. Any chance he goes on Sunday?
I'm just not feeling it. You know, they talked the first day that he was able to participate in team meetings, kind of the general team meeting, but not position-specific meetings. And then yesterday, he was able to participate in the quarterback meetings, but he was not able to practice. And I think they're going very slowly with him, and rightfully so. I don't think you see him this week.
I'd be surprised as well. We talked about this earlier in the week, operating under the presumption that he wouldn't play, Matthew, that in terms of how it impacts the Cowboys' skill players, you're still playing Amari Cooper. He's Amari Cooper, and he did play pretty well last week with Ben DiNucci under center.
He did. He'll be shadowed by Darius Slay, which is a cause for concern.
But
you're still starting him. You're still starting him, but you're lowering expectations.
You're still benching Michael Gallup because he has basically been a bench player for much of this season. And then CeeDee Lamb, I think it's probably how great is your other option that you're considering against CeeDee Lamb, who had just 0.1 fantasy points this past week. A really talented player, but it's going to be hard for me to envision this Cowboys offense operating nearly as efficiently as it was with Dak Prescott when you're down to your third-string quarterback.
Very true, although, you know, CeeDee Lamb is a big play waiting to happen. He's one of those guys who can just take it to the house. I think the Eagles kill him here, so I do think that there may be some junk time here. I agree with your assessment, though. CeeDee Lamb is just basically check the rankings and see where it is and see where he falls based on your other options. He is high risk, high reward this week.
Both Chris Godwin and Deebo Samuel were previously ruled out, and yesterday we learned that Julian Edelman would miss some time. Stefania, do you have any sense on what some means in this case?
No, just multiple weeks. They talked about Julian Edelman having a quote-unquote procedure on his knee, the nature of which is not fully clear, but from what I've been able to gather, it sounds like it was something to address the discomfort in his knee, which has some arthritic changes. And, you know, we've talked about Julian Edelman before being tough and being able to get back out there week in and week out despite being on the injury report. But at some point, that time and that injury history does catch up to you. And just got to the point where we were talking about this last Sunday, that he just wasn't looking like himself lately. Even though he was trying to get through it, he just wasn't really able to be effective on the field. And I think this was done in order to help give him a chance to come back and be able to play effectively. But we're talking multiple weeks, I would imagine, at least two or three.
Yeah, we'll see whether the Patriots put him on IR today or tomorrow, which will rule him out for at least three games. Then again, I'm not sure they necessarily need to right now because they are already down, I think, a player or two from the 53-man roster. So we'll see on Julian Edelman.
It is depressing for me to say this, Field Yates, but the fantasy impact of this move is almost nothing. There is not one Patriots player you feel confident about starting this week. And until further notice, there's not one Patriots player where you feel like, I got to get that guy in my lineup. Like, we need to see it before we can trust it. And that goes for Cam Newton, any of the pass catchers, any of the running backs. I'm just honestly like, there's not one player on that team that you feel like, I got to start that guy.
We got a lot of stuff to get to, so we'll get there in just a moment. But first, how do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to Geico during Geico-ween.
Not bad.
October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up some spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geico-ween, everyone. All right, let's sort through some backfields and figure out whether there's any value to be had. We talked about the Seahawks with all their injuries. The other side of that game is the 49ers, who traveled to Seattle for this game. We do not expect, we know there will be no Raheem Mostert, as he is still on IR. Last week, Jeff Wilson got hurt. He also will be out for this game. So it's looking like some blend of Jamichael Hasty and maybe Tevin Coleman, but even he is iffy for this game. And Jerick McKinnon, if you had to start one, who would it be?
Oh, boy. At the moment, and this is subject to change, I would recommend everyone tune into Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2. Because this is something that will be fluid and changing. If you're telling me I got to start somebody right now, today, at this moment, I say Jamichael Hasty,
okay,
who looked good last week, got a lot of work. I don't know what happened with Jerick McKinnon. I don't know if it was one of these things where they just feel like his workload's been too much or just, you know, shenanigans, you know, like which happens. And like my friend Matthew Bear, this happened to him a couple years ago with Alfred Morris, who was getting all the work and then all of a sudden out of the blue, got nothing in one game. That happened with Jerick McKinnon, getting all the work and then all of a sudden just boom, nothing, no warning at all. So this happens with this 49ers team. I will say this. That if Tevin Coleman is activated for this game, he suddenly becomes interesting. Wouldn't surprise me because nothing surprised me to this team. Wouldn't surprise me if suddenly Tevin Coleman comes out and he has the best fantasy day. But it feels like that, assuming Tevin Coleman is either in a very limited role or isn't activated for this game, you're looking at a split between Jerick McKinnon and Jamichael Hasty. And even when McKinnon was, quote, the guy, other guys were getting more work. And McKinnon was being very efficient in scoring. But you're asking me which one of these guys I'm trusting? I don't know that I'm trusting any of them, but I have Jamichael Hasty ranked the highest.
Stefania, do you have any sense on whether Tevin Coleman will play on Sunday?
It sounds like he has looked better in practice than expected, is what I'm told. And, you know, it's interesting because last week he was considered a long shot to come off IR. And we haven't heard much about the nature of his knee sprain that put him on IR and has had him out for multiple weeks. But then this week, as he's been moving around the practice field, he's done more. It sounds like they're feeling better about his chances for being activated for in advance of this game. I agree with you guys. It's very hard to read. Even the people who are there all the time with the team thought Jerick McKinnon would do a little bit more, although there is a sense the team is trying to not overdo it with him. And I also agree. I think Jamichael Hasty is the biggest upside play. but that doesn't mean that it's easy to trust anyone.
It is certainly risky, but I'll merely say that the last three games, Jerick McKinnon has 14 touches for 32 yards. That is not the kind of production you want if you're Kyle Shanahan, and they need production. And I think they can get it against the Seahawks, who are 30th ranked against the run over the last 4 weeks.
The Detroit Lions have seen more from DeAndre Swift over the past few weeks. That's been awesome to see. Very talented player for Daniel's Lions. They play an awesome Indy defense this upcoming weekend, Matthew. Any confidence whatsoever in playing DeAndre Swift this Sunday?
A little bit. Listen, it's not a good matchup. The Colts are very good defensively. They've had 2 weeks to prepare, and obviously Adrian Peterson is still there, right? I mean, Adrian Peterson has 11 carries in four straight games, right? They continue to use him, even though he's not particularly effective, and he's always a chance to vulture at the goal line, although they have been using DeAndre Swift at the goal line more and more, which is encouraging. He is the passing down back, which is great. Three or more receptions in five or six games so far this year. He's got a rushing touchdown and at least three catches in both of the last 2 weeks. So those are all encouraging signs. But again, it is a tough matchup, and he is in a running back by committee. I think DeAndre Swift is, you see it there on your screen, I'm at running back 21 right now. So I think he is a low-end RB2, high-end flex for this week.
Do Lions and Tigers get along?
Sometimes. And Bears. Oh, my. It depends if you love them upright. Got to love them upright. You got to give them some meat. Got to give them some love. You got to give them some attention.
Okay.
You know, play some music. I got country music that I sing and write and I play for them. They enjoy that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm a singer. You should check out my albums. Go to the iTunes.
Okay. I'm going to go to the iTunes.
I just have one quick question for Daniel Dopp. How are your timbers? Are they shivering?
There be no Daniel here, only Captain Secret Sparrow, but his timbers be shivering a mighty bit in his booties. You do be right.
I like it. I can deal with it. I can get it. I get it. Believe me. Matty Exotic understands. Matty Exotic understands, you know, a man's needs.
Oh, God. The Dolphins play the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. The game is in Miami, and of course, Tua time begins. So we have the Rams backfield, which is kind of interesting because it has been sort of a two-person attack of late. It's a good matchup, though, on Sunday, Matthew. Darrell Henderson, a lock in your lineups?
He is. He is indeed. Listen, Matty Exotic loves Florida. I love the Gators. I love the Swamps. I love the Tigers there. I love everything. I love Florida men. You understand what I'm saying? Like, just you always think about Florida man. That's I feel like I should have been a Florida man in another life. But you asked me about Darrell Henderson, and I will tell you that this is somebody who's getting a big workload, at least 70 touches in three of the past five games, right? He's gotten over 77% of the Rams' red zone touches. And you think about this Miami Dolphins defense that is the sixth worst in the red zone. I feel like those corners of the Miami Dolphins secondary are so strong, Field Yates. They are so excellent that I feel like the way you attack this team is you run the ball. And so I know Malcolm Brown got the touchdown last week, but Darrell Henderson, to the eye test and to the numbers, has been the better and most effective running back for the Rams this season. I expect him to have a big game on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Give me all the Darrell Henderson this week.
Let's move to the Chargers who play the Broncos. As Matthew mentioned, a revenge game for Melvin Gordon. Are we at the point now where it's back to a coin flip between Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly? Because for a couple of weeks there, we felt like Justin Jackson was the clear-cut back to play.
I believe that's correct. I believe that is correct, which is your initial question. Is this back to a coin flip? John Sawatsky would ask you not to do two questions like that. Just something to think about. Okay. Just put that in your head. Just let it rattle around and get in there and, you know, maybe sink in a little bit. But to answer the first question of the two that you posed me, I believe, yes, I believe that we are back to sort of a coin flip. Like, it sort of depends on how you feel this game goes. I feel if they're throwing a lot, and they certainly have been under Justin Herbert. You know, Justin Jackson is more of the pass-catching running back, right? He's got, you know, since Austin Eckler left for to be injured, right, since he's been out of the lineup, he's gotten, five catches on six targets in both the games since Austin Eckler left. He is more the pass-catching guy. Feels like they like Joshua Kelly down around the goal line a little bit more. He's a little bit, more the goal line back. Neither guy has been particularly effective, and this is not a great matchup as well. The Broncos are third against fantasy running backs, third best. So, I think they're both like sort of cross your fingers and hope flex plays this week.
How about this? Is it the same logic apply to the Bucs running backs with both Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette as potential top 20 plays, but also potential non-flex options?
I'm more bullish on them than I am the Chargers running backs, mostly because of how I think this game goes. I think the Buccaneers win this game. I think they win it handily. And so what's weird is that their pass-catching running back has now become Leonard Fournette. Yeah, and Leonard Fournette, of course, out of LSU. I love the Bayou as well. And so, you know, I'm a little partial to Leonard Fournette here. Think about week seven, right? Fournette, 39 snaps to just 30 for Ronald Jones, right? And in the two games that he has played with double-digit touches this year, Leonard Fournette has been a top 15 fantasy running back. I think he gets double-digit touches Monday night against the Giants right here on ESPN. I'm a friend of the company. I appreciate that, Secret Sparrow. So anyway, what I'm saying here now, though, is that I believe they are up big and both guys run effectively. I have both Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette as top 20 running backs this week. I have Ronald Jones at 14. I have Fournette at 19. But, you know, truthfully, you know, I feel like both guys could be effective here. I think Jones has the better chance at a touchdown than Fournette, but Fournette would be more involved in the passing game. Both guys going to be effective.
After a long summer, the wait is officially over. College football is back, and so is an all-new season of your favorite Dr. Pepper-obsessed college football town. That's right, we're talking about Fansville. So brace yourself for all the on-the-field football drama and off-the-field Dr. Pepper flavor your eyes and taste buds and mustache can handle. Because even though you can't be at the stadium, you can still dress, cheer, and drink Dr. Pepper like a true fan. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today.
ESPNU Radio on SiriusXM is where you need to be if you live and breathe college football. We're talking live games, the latest rankings, conference and team news, as well as analysis from experts like Mark Packer, Greg McElroy, and EJ Manuel, all leading up to the championship specials and more. Take SiriusXM with you and always have the latest college football info when you need it. Listen right now on the SiriusXM app or online at SiriusXM.com/listenESPNU.
Let's move things forward here to some of our quarterback streaming options for the week. We'll pick up the pace as well. Matthew, you, sir.
Who's Matthew?
I'm sorry. What's your name again?
Matty Exotic.
Matty Exotic. Some call you the Tiger King. Some also refer to Joe Burrow as the Tiger King. That's what we called him right after he was drafted by the Bengals. Is he a king in your lineup this week?
He is indeed. He's the true Tiger King. I'm not going to try to take the title away from him. And I believe that continues this week. Think about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow made my friend Matthew Berry's love list this week, and rightfully so. Right? I mean, the guy throws it a ton. Leads the NFL in pass attempts, 41.9 per game. Right? And when you pass in a lot, he's got over 300 passing yards in five of the six games he's played so far this year. When you pass in a lot against a defense that's bad, good things going to happen. Tennessee giving up. Tennessee is 19th against fantasy quarterbacks. They allow almost 20 fantasy points per game. They are bottom 10 in the NFL in terms of pressure rate, passing yards allowed, touchdown passes allowed, and points allowed. Oh, no, sorry, that's 17th in points allowed. This is a good matchup because we think Tennessee going to have no problem moving the ball against my Bengals. And so, yeah, give me some Joe Burrow as a top 10 play this week.
Not quite a top 10 play, but not far out is Derek Carr, who plays the Browns in a great matchup. The Browns, I believe, are on pace to allow the most points through half of a season in franchise history. If they're not on pace, they're very close.
And that is an accomplishment. Anytime you can get in the record books for every reason, you take that. So congratulations to the Cleveland Browns organization. It's just about, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, it's just about the publicity. And so if your Browns organization get into the record books for the worst defense, they're going to remember that. People going to remember that. Just remember, look, take it from me, I'm a Brandon expert. Okay, Derek Carr also makes the love list this week. Right, you mentioned the Cleveland Browns and that defense. Right, they allow the third most passing yards. Three straight quarterbacks to face Cleveland have scored 25 or more fantasy points. And fantasy, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady. Not saying Derek Carr is one of those three guys, but I will say he's actually been pretty good. Multiple passing touchdowns in his past three games, over 19 fantasy points in three straight, four of his past five. And then you think about this Cleveland Browns defense, as you mentioned, young Field Yates. They allow a touchdown on over 5% of passes. They allow a touchdown at the ninth highest rate in the NFL. So, yes, I believe Derek Carr is a very viable streamer this week. And if actually you look at his schedule coming up, it's a pretty good one here. I'm as a top 12 quarterback this week, And I do think he's a very viable streamer for the immediate future.
All right, good stuff there. They really need to pick up the pace in terms of vertical shots down the field in Las Vegas, because that part of their offense really unlocks a lot. Let's get to the
Henry Ruggs is a coming. Mark the Tiger King's words. Yep. Henry Ruggs is a coming.
It's Tua time in Miami, and of course, we all look forward to seeing Tua in his first starting action. But one question we have is whether he'll have his top wide receiver, Devontae Parker. So, Stefania, will we?
It sounds like it. Devontae Parker's been limited with a groin issue in practice this week, but Brian Flores yesterday hinted that all of the players who are banged up but participating had a shot to play, so it sounds like they're planning on having.
That's certainly good news for Tua. He can use all the help he can get, as any rookie quarterback would in his first start here, Matthew. But let's talk about how the offense is impacted with Tua under center as opposed to Ryan Fitzpatrick, as Devontae Parker makes the hate list for Tiger King.
Thank you. And he is a fade for me. Think about everything that's going on. So he comes into this game less than 100% healthy. That is bad. He comes in with a quarterback we have not seen play before in the NFL. That is bad. And now he's got to face Jalen Ramsey and that secondary of the Rams, which is not a good matchup. That is bad. There's just a lot of things pointing to, hey, this may not be good. I just, they don't shadow all the time with Jalen Ramsey. Like, they'll use it, but that secondary, Jalen Ramsey is a name, but that secondary is playing great. And you know Aaron Donald and the entire Rams front can get after it. We'll see how mobile Tua is, but I don't know. This is not an easy matchup for a rookie to make his very first NFL start, and I would be nervous about starting Devontae Parker as a top 20 play. I have him at 28 for the week, so well outside my top 20, merely a low-end wide receiver 3 this week.
Is Mike Gesicki at all impacted by Tua starting, or is this just one where your ranking is dependent upon how lucky you feel because he could have a touchdown or he could go for zero catches? We've seen both this season.
That's exactly right. Like, it is a little bit of just a bit of a dart throw. What you're hoping here is that, you know, typical rookie quarterback looking for the tight end, kind of a safety valve, if you will. You also think about how good the corners are for the Rams and then maybe just try to attack the middle of the field. But I was very concerned, Field Minister Yates. I was very upset and angry when I saw how much Adam Shaheen played before the break.
It just
makes me nervous for Mike Gesicki. Now I'm banking on the talent. I'm banking on the fact that, you know, try to attack the middle of the field. But yes, it is a little bit of a dart throw when you're talking about the pass catchers, specifically the tight end position on the Miami Dolphins.
Let's talk about a couple of wide receivers who have some opportunity this week, beginning with Brandon Ayuk of the 49ers, first round pick, their second of two first round picks, who is clearly the kind of player that looks the part. He looks the part. He's been awesome after the catch. He had over 110 receiving yards this past week. And what I'm sort of hoping for, and I don't have any evidence that this is definitely going to happen, is that no Deebo Samuel means that Brandon Ayuk becomes Deebo Samuel for at least a week or two. What I mean by that is Deebo Samuel, over the past two games, has been catching a ton of passes. But really, it's been Jimmy Garoppolo handing the football off 18 inches forward, right?
Correct.
If we could have some of those touches for Brandon Ayuk instead, he could be a top 20 wide receiver play this week.
I have him ranked as such. I have him ranked as a top 20 wide receiver. He makes the love list here. Brandon Ayuk is a very talented player, versatile, fast. To your point about what they do with Deebo Samuel, they manufacture touches for him, Field. They manufacture touches, and I believe they will do the same for Brandon Ayuk in a game in which they will need to score, because we know how well the Seahawks offense is playing. So you got to keep up with Seattle. And that defense, by the way, is not good. There is no team in the NFL worse against opposing wide receivers than this Seattle Seahawks. And so you think about no Deebo Samuel in this game, and all due respect to Kendrick Bourne and the remaining wide receivers in San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk is the number one guy. He's going to be the big pass catcher for the Niners, along with George Kittle, of course. And so past two weeks, Deebo Samuel, over 25% of the Niners' receptions, 24% of their receiving yards. And as you mentioned, there is no Deebo Samuel. So where does all that production go in a very good matchup? I believe a lot of it goes to Brandon Ayuk, who I have as a top 20 play in week 8.
Stefania, before we can talk about Scotty Miller's outlook, how's he doing on the health front?
Well, I think this is going to be a routine, Field, that he's on the injury report listed as limited every week. He's like our new Julian Edelman. He's, you know, he's Brady's outlet, and he's on the injury report every week, but shows up to play. Hip and groin issue, it hasn't changed. But, you know, and we've only got the one day of practice because it's a Monday night game. But I see no reason to think he would do anything but play.
Okay, well, with him likely to play on Monday night, pretty good outlook for him as well with no Chris Godwin, Matthew. Probably the last week that you can count on Scotty Miller as Antonio Brown returns or is eligible to play next week in week 9. You in on Scotty Miller for 1 week?
Yeah, I like him. I like him. I think he's a wide receiver 3. I am interested to see what happens with Tyler Johnson as well. Last time Chris Godwin was out, Tyler Johnson had himself a game. And I know they like him in Tampa Bay as well. Now, Scotty Miller coming off the big game here, and if he's healthy, he's out there as well. But the problem is that they have so many weapons in this passing game. We know Tom Brady likes to toss it around. My expectation is they try to get Mike Evans involved in this one, and they use him out of the slot some. You'll see some Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson. Don't forget about Rob Gronkowski, of course, and we just talked about earlier in the show. Leonard Fournette is part of this passing game now. And so they just I think Scotty Miller's got a shot, but he is a wide receiver 3-4. He's in that range, right? He's there. He has a low floor. Like, it wouldn't surprise if he does nothing. Also, wouldn't surprise if he's 8-for-9 in a touchdown on Monday night. There's just a wide range of outcomes there for Scotty Miller. I do believe Tyler Johnson be more involved than people think.
Matty Exotic is an award-winning country music singer.
Uh-huh.
Matthew Berry is an award-winning column writer for ESPN.com. One of those columns, of course, is Love Hate, which debuts every Thursday. I sometimes skim it. Let's get to a couple of players that make your love and hate.
Can I just say something for my friend Matthew about his recent column? If you haven't read it, it's up on ESPN.com. I'm a friend of the company. And I've gotten some feedback about this week's column. A few people thought my friend Matthew was a little bit too mean. And I felt like, you know what, talking to Matthew, he feels like, so no intention to be mean. No intention to be mean, but like a little bit of tough love. Like, it just, you feel like people wrote in emails and Matthew responded in kind, and Matthew felt like, hey, you know what? I want to give you this feedback before you get it when it counts, when you're sending it into a potential job application or somebody that can potentially help you. So the thought process was there, like, let me give you some hard truths, or let Matthew, my friend Matthew, give you some hard truths, you know, before you make that mistake. But no hate was intended at all. Matthew's all about love, all about teaching, all about making people feel better. Me personally, I'm all about Tigers, and I'm also all about love.
Okay.
Football players I love.
Well, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to pass on the hates and just get into the loves right now.
All right.
This segment, we begin with Jonathan Taylor.
Yes.
The Colts back off their bye in a good matchup against the Lions.
He is. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Okay.
Secret Sparrow. But the Lions, bottom 5 in the NFL this season in rushing touches allowed per game to running backs. The bottom 5 in rushing yards allowed per game to running backs and fantasy points allowed per game to running backs. They give up a league worst 9.2 yards per reception to running backs. Okay? Jonathan Taylor coming off the bye, getting ingrained in this offense more. This is a really good matchup for a guy who's going to get a ton of work. Naheem Hines has not been impressive. He had the big week 1, and then that's about it. And then you think about the Colts. What are they going to do? Let Phillip Rivers throw it? They are not. Jonathan Taylor going to get a huge workload against one of the worst run defense in the NFL. Give me all the Jonathan Taylor this week. A top 12 play for me.
Yeah, he's been pretty solid filling in since Marlon Mack went down, obviously, due to the injury.
He's been pretty solid, but it hadn't been what you expected. I believe coming out of the break, out of the bye, rookie running back, I believe he's more ingrained in that offense, what they want to do. They figured out how to use him, how not to use him. I expect a big second half for Jonathan Taylor, and it starts on Sunday against the pathetic Detroit Lions.
Matty Exotic has played plenty of show in Dallas. The Eagles play Dallas on Sunday night. It's at Philadelphia. You love yourself some Travis Fulton. I take that. Is it at Philadelphia? It's at Philadelphia.
Yes, it is. The game is in Philadelphia.
You love yourself some Travis Fulgham in this game.
Why can you not? This is an amazing, amazing story. Can you believe, Secret Sparrow, can you believe that your Philadelphia Eagles, your Detroit Lions had this guy on the team and just gave him away? Just said, we don't want you. We don't need that kind of production.
Come on now. You know who else cut him?
Who's that?
The Packers. You know who else cut him?
Who's that?
The Eagles.
Oh, but the Eagles got him now. And by the way, Secret Sparrow don't care about the Cowboys or the Eagles or the Packers.
Maybe a little bit.
He cares about the Lions.
Secret Sparrow be a Raiders fan, true and true.
Travis Fulgham has lead 10 targets in 3 straight games, okay? and then you love this matchup. I've said it before. You love Dallas the way I hate Carole Baskin. Cowboys have given up any wide receiver that's seen at least 6-plus targets against the Cowboys this season, averaging 22.6 fantasy points per game, right? No team has allowed more touchdowns to opposing wide receivers than the Dallas Cowboys. Travis Fulgham is a wide receiver. He is playing the Dallas Cowboys this week. He's going to get at least 6 targets. Give me the over on his projection this week. He makes the Loveless top 12 play for me this week. Travis Fulgham is an amazing, amazing story.
We are coming very close to the end of the show, so let's rip through a couple of players.
That is a shame.
Couple of, I don't know, maybe it might be good to not
have. I'm going to talk like this all day long.
You know, what Matty Exotic reminds me of? You know those dogs that have, they have the hair that falls over their eyes, and you're always wondering, like, do they just see life like this, or do they try to constantly move the hair out of their face, which they're unable to because they're dogs? You remind me of one of those, right?
I appreciate it. Yeah. That may not be the old reason, too. It might be just because that's how it is stuck underneath the hat.
Okay.
That's a thought.
Stuff here. All righty. Let's keep on moving here, yeah, Matthew, to a couple of players. Again, let's talk about potential confidence levels, and then begin with Josh Allen playing the Patriots on Sunday.
Confidence level? On what? On a scale of 1 to 10 or what? I mean, like, I'm ranked 7th. So I'm as a top 10 fantasy quarterback, but not as high as he has been in previous weeks. He's a little nervous about the lack of production last couple of weeks, but as we talked about on Monday's show, man got you 16 fantasy points, didn't score a touchdown. A little bit of that was fluky, but Patriots defense, it's always a challenge. Of course, whenever you're facing Bill Belichick, that's always going to be a challenge, but it ain't the Patriots defense of old, and I do believe that offense of New England's is struggling so much that they might get some positive field position here. I have Josh Allen as a top 10 play.
By the way, Stephon Gilmore for the Patriots limited in practice yesterday with a new injury. It's a knee issue. We'll see if he plays on Sunday. Cam Newton, other side of the ball, Matthew, are you starting him? What's your confidence level like? I can't imagine anybody starting Cam Newton on Sunday, right?
Yeah, almost none is my confidence level. Like, I'm as a mid-tier QB too, because they're going to have to run. They're going to have to run with him. And so, you know, but my confidence level is zil.
Yeah, I think the only reason that you would potentially ever consider starting Cam Newton is that throughout his career, like, he's played with just a bunch of average wide receivers and had monster games, but it's hard to believe this is a spot in which he is set up for the same success on Sunday. Stefania, Josh Jacobs and the Raiders go to Cleveland to play the Browns. How's Jacobs doing these days health-wise?
I think he's going to be okay to play. He's a guy who doesn't miss games, obviously. He was limited this week with a knee issue that he picked up somewhere in the last week, but I don't think it's going to keep him off the field.
Okay, so that
was... Or he be swabbing the deck when he twisted the old knee. It was just a little thing, though. He'll be fine for Sunday.
Okay, breaking news there from Secret Sparrow on Josh Jacobs, a fellow Raiders or Pirates, right?
Yes, Raiders are Pirates, Masterfield. Okay. They told me you were a learned young feller.
They were accurate in telling you as much. Just really quickly here, Matthew, one more. Let's talk about CeeDee Lamb here. Let's talk about Zeke Elliott, excuse me. Talking about CeeDee Lamb a little bit earlier. Ezekiel Elliott at the point now, Matt Exotic, where you're worried about him, but you can't possibly be at the point where you're not starting him.
I believe both those statements are correct. Field Minister Yates, you are worried. He's not the guy you drafted top 3. That offensive line is so brutal. The offense itself, you don't expect to be as efficient under Ben DiNucci. Having said all that, he's going to get insane volume. And, you know, a panicked young quarterback probably checking down. Zeke has been involved in the passing game all year long, obviously. And so, yeah, you're still starting him. But, you know, I'm in rank 7th. Which is lower than I ever expected to be ranking a healthy Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I feel that same way as well. But Zeke will continue to get great, great volume. He's going to need it. All right, we got a couple of pieces of news. Actually, really just one piece of news pertaining to two teams that I wanted to pass along. And consider this your encouragement to watch Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. This comes from Adam Schefter just moments ago. Two more teams have a positive test amongst players today. A Broncos offensive lineman has tested positive, and a Vikings linebacker has tested positive. We got this news moments ago. We do not know whether that's going to impact the team's ability to be within their facilities today, and we do not know if it means it's going to impact their games on Sunday. The Broncos play the Chargers. The Vikings play the Packers. More to come. Again, they're not just Fantasy Football Now on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time, but also on Twitter. Make sure you're following at Matthew Berry, TMR, at Stefania underscore ESPN. And I am at Field Yates if you feel so inclined. Anything else to cover? You have less than 1 minute to say anything you want to empty the vault on right now.
Just that I would encourage everyone to read Love Hate on ESPN.com to tune into and to tune into, obviously, the show on Sunday morning. You know, we keep our fingers crossed, and you know, I think Matty Exotic's a hit. I think I should show up Sunday morning like this.
Yeah, I think that would probably be a good idea.
I think I should just do this all time.
Maybe forever. You're actually pretty
maybe
good today.
Maybe forever.
You had a banner day. Maybe happy Halloween to you and yours.
What hey, be safe. Be safe, everyone out there. I know it's a weird year. Just, you know, I hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoy it with the kiddies. But also, just remember to be safe. We appreciate that. We appreciate everybody. So ask everyone to be safe this Halloween.
For Matty Exotic and Secret Sparrow and Stefania Bell, I am Field. We'll see you guys on Monday. But first, Sunday, Fantasy Football Now. Talk to you then.
Peace out. Oh, by the way, new Halloween episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus is really good.
Woo-hoo, check
that
out.
Be sure to check that out. Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.